All right, well, thank you for the introduction, Alfred. My name is Jennifer, and I work with Alfred on looking at soil carbon and mineralogy in sandy soils. So approximately 12% of the state of Wisconsin, the soils are classified as being entisols. And as you can see in the middle, a lot of the entisols are in the central part of the state, which we also refer to as the central sand plains or the central sand hills. And most of these soils are going to be UD cement, so they're extremely sandy entisols. So just based on some information that we already know from previous research out in the central sands, the common crops out there are going to be corn, potatoes, soybean, and peas, and all of these fields are irrigated, limed, and fertilized, and leveled. Some basic soil properties, we know that the pH is normally a little bit higher in soils under agriculture, and that's just due to the application of lime, but it's also a little bit more neutral under grasslands, and then it gets a lot more acidic in the forested soils in the A horizon. The most important thing is that the soils under agriculture in these sandy soils typically have a much thicker AP horizon. And based on previous work, it's been noted that the approximate A horizon depth in soils under agriculture is about 28 centimeters, when soils under grassland and forests have much thinner A horizons. It's also been noted that these soils in the central sands have relatively high carbon stocks at about 40 tons of carbon per hectare, and this is just because of the intensive land management, the application of nitrogen, as well as the irrigation. So there are two main objectives to this afternoon's presentation. The first one is to assess carbon concentrations in different sand fractions, and also to investigate a link between carbon and mineralogy. So for this study, we used three different soil pits that were actually dug before my time at UW with Heather Watson and Alfred over at the Wallendahls farm. We did three different soil pits, the first one being under agriculture, the second under grassland, and the third under forest. All three of these soil profiles were classified as being arenic halpudols. So similar to the UD cements, they're just very sandy alfisols. All of these soils had at least 80% sand content and less than 11% clay. Just based on even looking at the differences between the horizon, the three soils, you can see that the AP horizon is much thicker in soils under agriculture than the other two. And you can also tell in soils under grassland and forest, the subsoils are a little redder, and this is just because of the increase in iron oxides in the soils. The two instruments I'm going to focus on today are going to be looking at dry combustion for soil carbon and using an SEM with an EDS detector for part of the mineralogy. So first I wanted to show a graph of the bulk soil carbon in the soils. The circles will always represent soils under agriculture. The squares are soils under grassland, and the triangles are those soils under forest. Based on this, you're able to see that a lot of the carbon is being stored in the AP in soils under agriculture and grassland at about 13 grams of carbon, while the soils under forest only had about 4.5 to 5 grams of carbon. So there's a lot more carbon being stored in agricultural and grassland soils. As a common trend, you're able to see that the soil carbon does decrease with depth for the most part, except for in this BT horizon, which all three of these profiles had, and you're able to see that there is a bulge in soil carbon in those areas due to the increase in clay. So all of these soils were also sieved into five different sand fractions, and then we also have a sixth fraction that was primarily the silt and clay content. Portions of the soil, in soils under agriculture, a lot of the sand fractions was predominantly the medium to the coarse sand fraction, so the purple and the green over here. And then when looking at the carbon content in these fractions, the smallest sand or the clay and silt fraction retained the, or had the highest carbon concentrations when comparing to the other sand size fractions. And that was found throughout the whole profile with depth. And then the second highest fraction was the fine sand and part of the silt size fraction. Similarly, for soils under grassland, we do note that there is a decrease in kind of the clay fraction in these soils, and then there's also a lot of the sand that's in the medium and coarse fractions. Similar to the agriculture, all of the carbon is primarily being held in the smallest fraction of soil, as well as the fine sand and silt. And it does decrease with depth. One thing to note is you can see that there is an increase in carbon content in the BT horizon. And with the forest, you can also see that there is now more variation in the medium-sized sand fractions, which is the purple, and there's also a little bit more of the coarser material when looking at the different sand size fractions. But with the carbon, again, there's a lot more being held in the smaller fractions than the coarser sand fractions. This is a map or a graph looking at the bulk soil for the iron oxides present in the soil, and this again was used, or the values were determined using an SEM and with an EDS detector. All the soils started out approximately 5 to 7% iron oxides, and as you move down through the profile, you see that there is an increase in iron oxides down in the BT horizon. And when kind of going back to the profile pictures, you're able to see that there was an increase in kind of the red coloration of the profile. And then once you get down to the sea horizon, it's back to not having that much iron. For the different fractions, you can see that a lot of them kind of follow the same trends as the bulk soil. But here you're able to see a little bit more clearly that a lot of the iron is in the sand fractions opposed to the silt and clay, and the same thing is observed over here. So you're able to see that the iron is moving kind of down through the profile and gets is primarily being held on in the BC horizons, and then it decreases once it gets down to the sea. Kind of to bring the soil carbon and the iron concepts together, I just wanted to show some SEM images of a couple of the sand grains from these soils. In the AP horizon, you're able to see that there is organic matter being held onto the surface of these sand grains. And then when the organic matter decreased, you're able to see in the BW horizons there isn't much being held onto the surface of these sand grains. But then when you get down to the BT, you are able to see that a lot more is being stuck onto these sand grains, and this is just because there's a higher amount of carbon present, there's a higher amount of clay being held onto these, and it could also be because of the iron oxides and the increase there. To talk about the weathering indices, as Alfred mentioned earlier, the Rexton index is kind of the most frequently used. The Rexton index is just the silica oxides over aluminum oxides. For the 17 samples, the silica started out being approximately 75 to about 82% in the topsoil. And you're able to see that it does decrease in the BT horizon. That's just because of the increase in the silt and clay content. And then it's getting closer to about 90 to 100% in the sea horizon. Kind of the opposite for the aluminum oxides. The aluminum starts at approximately 10 to 12%, and then it increases when it gets down into the BT horizon to being closer to 20%, and then decreases then with depth. So for the Rexton index, you're able to see that so the optimum weathering value is zero, so the most weathered soil is going to be at zero, and the least weather is going to be closer to 100. the A and B horizons are all more weathered than the C, suggesting that the C horizon just isn't weathered, which is to be expected since it's below a meter in the surface. Just to look at three other weathering indices, these kind of show a different story, and it could just, and it's primarily due because these models take into account magnesium, potassium, calcium into their equations. So when looking for the weathering index of Parker, again, 0 is going to be the most weathered and 100 would be the least. You're able to see that all the horizons are kind of about the same. There is a little bit of fluctuation. And same with the chemical index of alteration and the chemical index of weathering. All three of these kind of suggest that these soils are a little bit more weathered than what is being predicted with the Ruxton index. One thing to note, since these equations do take into consideration magnesium, potassium, and calcium, it's difficult to kind of say what's really going on in these agricultural soils since liming and fertilization is happening on them. So if you are to do weathering indices, any model kind of with these variables in it is not going to be or will not represent agriculture the best just because it kind of goes out on its own and follows just a different pattern. So to conclude, we've noticed that the topsoil carbon content was the highest for the bulk soil in soils under agriculture and grassland at about 13 grams of carbon, while soils had a lot less carbon at about 5 grams. The carbon content for all of these soils was the highest in the clay fraction, or the less than 45 micron. And in the topsoil, it was about 19 to 43 grams of carbon, while the subsoil dropped significantly and was only between 2 and 11. Based on the rest, we were able to kind of see that the carbon content was the lowest then in the different sand size fractions, where in the topsoil you only saw 1 to 8 grams of carbon, while the subsoil was less than 3. Kind of bringing back the iron oxides. The iron oxides were actually the highest in the very fine sand and silt size fractions, that coming in about 10% iron oxides, while the rest of the fractions had less and was about 7 to 8% for all the soils. The carbon was highest in the BT horizon, and this is just because of the increase in iron oxides there, as well as the increase in clay content. And just to compare the BT and the BW, which the BT was always below the BW, you're able to see for the carbon, it was between 1 and 3.5 grams of carbon, while the BW was between 0.5 and 2. For the iron oxides, the BT was between about 11 and 15%, while the BW was between 6 and 8. And the clay content was 8 to 10%, while the BW was only between 1 and 2. So there are significant differences in the amount of clay, carbon, and oxides in the BT. Using the Ruxton index, we saw that the C horizon was the least weathered, which is what we would expect since it was about a meter and a half below the surface of the soil. And if you use weathering indices that include calcium, magnesium, and potassium, they're not so useful in soils under agriculture just because of the addition of lime and fertilizers applied to the soil. And for that, I'd like to say thank you for listening to my presentation. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah. I noticed you had AP horizons in the grass signs of four studies previously cropped areas that have been since restored to grass and trees.
They are in the central sands a while back. A lot of the farms used to have wind stands to kind of help prevent the sand from going across the landscape. And so these soils are always being converted into different ones. It's like right now, if we were to go back and sample the same profiles, they have been converted into some other type of land use. So at some point, all of these were under agriculture.
So